Well, did you enjoy that this morning? There's a grown up in the church in East Texas, and then my parents were really into gospel music, and they would take us over to Fort Worth and Dallas for these all-night gospel singings. And so I spent sometimes long nights and laying on the floor listening to good gospel music, and some of that I recognize today as a part of my heritage. So thank you guys for singing, and thank you, Pastor Squirmy. And thank you for that gift to us. So anyway, we're going to have them come back in a few minutes and sing one of my favorite songs at the end of service here in just a few minutes. I just want to share with you real quickly this morning a story and share from God's word for just a minute. There was a time we were living in St. Louis, and our son was away at college. And I was having some sinus issues and snoring far worse than I normally do. And it was so bad that Luann said, "Honey, I need to get some sleep tonight. Why don't you go sleep in your son's room?" It was early December. He hadn't come back from school yet. And so I got kicked out of the bed. But it's good to have another bed to go to instead of just a couch, because I've been there. And so went into Michael's room and got into bed, and in the middle of the night, I was awakened by some scratching noise, some clawing noise up in the ceiling. Yeah, and so I'm like, first of all, I'm trying to figure out, am I just disoriented and delusioned? But no, there's really something going on up there, and I tracked it into a corner of his room, and just kind of instinctively, like any man would do, I just beat on the ceiling, right? Just quit. And so I beat on the ceiling and it stopped. And I got back into bed. And so I told Lou about it the next day. I said, "You know, we kind of need to listen for that." And she said, "Why don't you stick your head up into the attic? We had this very little hole cut out of the attic. And if there was an animal up there, I'm not sticking my head up there." So I said, "We'll just listen for it for now, all right?" And so we did, and we didn't hear anything. And then Michael came home from college and for the Christmas break. And so he was there a couple of days, and then we got in the car and headed to Texas and Louisiana to see our parents for Christmas and spend Christmas there. And so as we're driving to Texas, Michael says, he says, "Hey, Dad, I heard some scratching up in my ceiling last night." I went, "Oh, really?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, we'll check it out when we get home if it hasn't dug its way into your room yet." And so that's what we did. We came back from Christmas, and I called an exterminator. And I said, "You know, we've been hearing these noises up there and everything else." And so they came out and took a look around the house, looked around the outside of the house, got up on the roof. Our garage was lower than we lived in a two-story house, and the garage had its own roof that was attached. And we had a gable cover on the end, a vent cover for the attic. And so they got up there and looked, came back down, and they said, "Well, Mr. Davis, you've definitely got something living up there." They said, we've looked around, and we tried to assess. We found there's a tree, a bush, big bush you've got in the back, and it looks like whatever it was climbed up it. There are claw marks on the fascia over there, and God bless you. And then on your gable vent, the vent covering there in the gable, it's pried apart. And there's a screen inside there, and something has tore a hole in it. And they said, "We got in there, and we took the gable cover off, and we looked as best we could tell. You've got a raccoon in your attic." I thought, "Well, that's awful, I think." I said, "What do we do about that?" I said, "Do you guys just climb in there and grab it?" And they went, "We're not going in there. I need to call braver exterminators." They said, "No." They said, "Look, we've looked around, and we think the best thing would do to be to maybe set a trap." And I said, "Well, how much is it?" And they told me, and I said, "Well, does it really have to go? Because there's a lot of money to me to get a raccoon out of my house." And they said, "No." They said, "You know, it's kind of a big deal." And I said, "Is it really a big deal to have a raccoon in the attic? I mean, did you see it up there?" "No, we think it's gone. We don't think it's in there. But they usually come back." I said, "How can you tell?" "Well, he sort of set up a little living area over here in one corner, and we can see there's a bathroom over in this corner. And so you know, we think he's coming back because he's gone to a lot of effort. And I said, well, what really, is it really a big deal to have a raccoon in the attic? And one of the guys said, sir, you know, I know when they call me sir, it's they're about to teach me something. It wasn't respect. It was, you need to understand a couple of things. First of all, a raccoon in your attic is very unsanitary and unhealthy. Very unsanitary. He says they poop. Do you got a slide back there for this, I think. There you go. Well, catch up with me. There you go. All right. It is unsanitary and unhealthy because here's the thing, sir. What they'll do is they'll poop and they'll pee all over the place. And, you know, your sheetrock, sir, kept calling me sir, is made of, you know, your ceiling is made of sheetrock, sir, and it absorbs stuff. And I've actually seen raccoons defecate so much in a roof that it's actually bled through into the inside of the house. And he said, that's kind of nasty. So, and it's not to mention the bugs and the roundworms that they bring with them. It's unsanitary to have a raccoon living in your attic, sir. Second, a raccoon in the attic is unsafe and dangerous. Because, see, they go clawing and ripping around your house and the roof, and they can tear into wiring, and that can cause a fire and burn your house down, sir. A raccoon can burn your house down, sir. I went, okay. And he said, thirdly, a raccoon's destructive. He said the raccoon has, he's already bent and ripped up your gable vent. He said it looks like, man, you know, like some big animal there. And I've seen him claw and rip holes in the roof and in the ceiling. And he said, think about it at night, sir. You're laying in your bed and you hear something digging through and all of a sudden a rabid, now it's a rabid raccoon, falls through the ceiling onto your head. You've got to fix this, sir. And then lastly, if it's a female, it could multiply. And, sir, you could have more than one raccoon living in your attic. I said, well, wow, this really seems bad. Yes, sir, it really is. Now, my ignorance, though, I had not yet seen. Have you seen those Mayhem commercials with Allstate? They had not made this commercial yet, but this gives you a visual picture of these four things right here. Show that commercial.
I'm a raccoon. And this time in your attic has been the best week of my raccoon life. I'm digging. I'm nesting in this fluffy stuff. I've already had like four babies. I'm the smartest raccoon I know. And if you got your home insurance where you got your 15-minute car insurance, you could be paying for this yourself. So get Allstate. You could save money and be better protected from mayhem like me.
Right? If I'd have seen that, there would have been no question that the raccoon has to go. The raccoon can't live in the house with me. So I said, all right, whatever we got to do. So they said, well, the raccoon's out. They said, so we're going to set a trap because we think you'll come back. And we're going to set it for 3 days. And then we'll come back. If he's not been caught by then we'll, you know, we'll repair your gable. We'll repair the screening and everything so that he has a harder time getting in next time. They were going to do 3 days because they thought that would be the amount of time he would need to get back, and because that's really all I could afford. Because every day, see, because raccoons, even though a raccoon has broken into your house because of PETA, raccoons have rights. And so they had to come by every day and check the trap because a dead raccoon can't be hanging for too long. So anyway, they set the trap, and we went by Wednesday, no raccoon, Thursday, no raccoon, Friday, no raccoon. And so the guy came, when he came by, he said, we're really busy today, so what we'll do is this. He said, I live in the subdivision next to you. I won't charge you. I'll just drive by Saturday and Sunday and check it. And then Monday, if there's no raccoon that's come back, then, you know, we'll just repair your gables and we'll put up the screening. We'll do the whole deal on Monday. I said, all right. I said, it's not costing me for you to come by. No, I'm just doing it as a neighbor. So great. Thank you. So anyway, so we're good to Saturday morning and all of a sudden we're having coffee and all of a sudden I hear this loud bam and a lot of rattling. So I ran outside. We had a raccoon. And I mean a big raccoon, 3.5 feet long. Normally, a raccoon won't get much over 20 pounds. This one, they weighed it, 25 pounds of a raccoon. And it was a she. But here's the big thing. They said, sir, this raccoon, she wasn't coming in, she was getting out. He said, had we come and sealed everything up, we would have sealed this raccoon up in your house. There's no telling how crazy it would have gone. I said, thank you. I'm just glad that you got the raccoon out of my house. But I looked at that big, huge raccoon, and I thought, that was living with us in our home. Now, here's the thing. There's a story in the Gospels about a man who had a raccoon in his attic. You probably don't remember this. This is my version of the Bible, okay? Matthew chapter 19. Now, a man came to Jesus and asked, teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, there's only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments. Next slide. Which ones? The man inquired. Jesus said, do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. And love your neighbor as yourself. Well, all these I have kept, the man said. What do I still lack? And Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. And then Jesus said to his disciples, I'll tell you the truth. It's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. This man had a raccoon in his attic. His raccoon was his attachment to his possessions. He was a wealthy man. He was a self-reliant man. He was, I think many times when we hear about people who have, I think one of the reasons Jesus said it's so hard for a wealthy man to enter into the kingdom is that because when we have wealth, we're very self-reliant. We're very independent. Greed can sometimes take over. Arrogance sometimes is caused because of our wealth. He was identified as a rich man. We don't know his name, but we know how everybody saw him, how everybody perceived him, what he was known for. He was known for being wealthy. He was known for being rich. And he wanted to follow Jesus, and he'd done all these things. He'd done everything that the Bible said he should do, but he still was unable to follow Jesus because he had a spiritual raccoon that he could not part with living in his attic called wealth. What kind of spiritual raccoon do you have running around your attic? Your raccoon may not be greed or wealth, but maybe yours is lust and promiscuity. Maybe it's porn. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's some addiction. Maybe it's some desire, some want. Maybe it is greed. Maybe it is envy. Maybe it's jealousy or pride that runs around your spiritual attic. Maybe it's gossip and slander. Maybe it's hurt. Somebody hurt you, and your hurt is what defines you. Your hurt is what running around the attic of your life. Maybe it's bitterness or loneliness, resentment or despair. What kind of spiritual raccoon you got running around the attic of your heart? Spiritual raccoons that we allow to live in the attics of our lives aren't good for us. We may not feed them directly, but we allow them to go and find nourishment and come and go as they please, interrupt as they please, distract us as they please, scratch around our lives. We allow them to live in our spiritual house. And here's the problem with your spiritual raccoon. It causes the same issues in your life that a real raccoon causes in your attic at home. For instance, in your spiritual life, if you have a spiritual raccoon, it is unsanitary and unhealthy. That sin, that bad attitude, that hurt, whatever it is, that anger, whatever it is, forgive me for the graphicness, will poop and pee all over the place in your life. They will, won't it? And your heart will absorb that stuff, and it will seep down through every area of your life, and it will leave a stain. It will bring unsanitary spiritual bugs. It will dirty your life and create an impure environment. Your raccoon will dirty the most holy and clean of hearts if you let it live there. And it's unsanitary to have a spiritual raccoon living in your attic. And Jesus knew that this man, if he didn't get a hold of this raccoon of wealth in his life, that it was going to ruin everything. His attachment to possessions, his greed, his lust, that it would be spiritually unhealthy and unsanitary for him. What's unsanitary and unhealthy in your spiritual life? A raccoon in your attic is unsafe and dangerous because this spiritual raccoon in your heart will claw and will scratch and rip everything around you, tearing everything down that God's trying to do in your life. A bad attitude, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, lust will rip out all the power that God tries to pour into you, and it may even burn your house down. Anger can burn your house down if you let it run wild. And Jesus knew that this man didn't get a hold of his attachment to his possessions, his greed, his lust for money, that it would be unsafe and dangerous for him. It had to go. What's unsafe and dangerous that you're letting live in your heart and life? A raccoon in the spiritual act is destructive. It'll punch holes in your spiritual house. Think of how peaceful you'll rest, wondering when an addiction, an uncontrollable want, a desire, a jealousy, a hurt, some anger will rise up in you at the most unexpected time. Jesus knew that this man didn't get a hold of his attachment to his possessions, his greed, then it would be destructive for him. Because greed and the love of money and the love of possessions, Bible says, is the root of all evil. It had to go. What's destructive in your spiritual life that you're letting live there? A raccoon in your spiritual attic often multiplies into other problems until an entire family of sin and debilitating attitudes lives in your heart. What started off as a hurt, somebody hurt you, turned into anger, right? Which then led to bitterness, which then did what? Turned into resentment. And next thing you know, you got a whole family of raccoons living in your heart because you let one stay too long. You clung to one too long. And Jesus knew that if this man didn't get a hold of his attachment to possessions, his greed, his lust for money, it would multiply. You know, often our fear is the driver for greed, which then turns into selfishness. And then guess what happens? Then we start cheating and compromise and to have more. And next thing you know, we've got a whole family living in there. And it had to go. What spiritual raccoons multiplying in your spiritual attic? Because here's what I know, is that if you let bad attitude live in your heart too long, if you let sin live in your heart too long, it'll have babies. This man had done everything right. This is what amazes me, right? He had done everything right. He'd given God every part of his life. He'd kept all the commandments, right? He gave God everything except his attic. He hung on to it. It defined him. He was a rich man. And in the end, he walked away because he was unwilling to give it up. And here's the thing. You can be sitting here this morning. Some of us, we brag about all the right things we've done. I've kept all the commandments. I go to church every week. I pray. I give three times my tithe in the offering, which that's okay to do that, okay? But if you're going to do something, err on that one. No. Right, we get caught up in, hey, God, I've done everything right. Did you know when you stand up in heaven, if you stand before God, we've sung songs about heaven this morning, you stand up before God at the end of time and you said, hey, I did everything right. That doesn't what get you there. It's trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ that forgives us. It's giving him everything. This man had done everything right. He'd given everything to God except for this one thing, and he walked away because he couldn't give it up, the thing that defined him. What defines you? Sometimes our hurt begins to define us. Sometimes we let injustice in this culture in which we live, injustice and what's been done to us defines us. Sometimes addiction defines us. Are you defined by your anger? Are you defined by what they did? Are you defined by your lust, your selfishness, your jealousy, your ambition? Do people know you because you're a good drunk? People know you because of your, because of how you handle your sexuality. What defines your life? What part of your spiritual house have you reserved for yourself? What raccoon are you letting live in your attic? And you may be doing everything outwardly right, but if you don't let Jesus have the attic, if he doesn't have the whole house, he doesn't have any part of your house. You may let God have every part, but you've got to let him have the attic. That's why Jesus said it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom, hard to pay the price and get rid of the raccoons. Matter of fact, that point came through so strongly that you know what? In verse 27, Peter says, hey, Lord, we've left everything to follow you. We've given it all up. Have you? Have you left everything? When someone does something to you, do you take that hurt and say, no, it's not mine. I'm going to give it to God. I've left everything to follow him. No, that injustice, that jealousy, those, I give my possessions, all that I have and all that I am, all my accomplishments, all my plans. I've left everything, Lord, to follow you. Too often we add Jesus instead of selling out to Jesus. He becomes a partner, an addition instead of the owner. So we add church on Sunday morning, we add Bible reading, we add prayer, we add tithing, we add all the things. But following Jesus is not something you add to your life. You have to sell out. He's not my partner in my life. He's my Lord. He's my landlord. He owns it. I give it all to him. I've left everything to follow you. You're not just my partner. You own it all. Even the attic. Now here's the thing. If you have an attic, if you have a raccoon living in the attic of your life this morning, you may not know how to get it out. I have to tell you, I wouldn't even poke my head up in the attic. There was no way. When I figured something, if I'd have known there was a 25-pound raccoon up there, I might have moved out and just sold the house. But I didn't know how to get a raccoon out of my attic. I didn't have the expertise, the knowledge, the equipment, and to be honest with you, I'm really scary of angry raccoons. In my first church, there was a guy who lived out in the country, and he caught a raccoon, and he put it in a cage and tried to have it as a pet. That raccoon was mad all the time. He had to let it go because raccoons don't make good pets, okay? You got to get rid of them. So I was scared of a crazy raccoon hissing at me. So that's why I called an exterminator, because I needed help. And maybe this morning you don't know how to get the raccoon out of your attic. Maybe you don't know how it got in there in the first place. And maybe you feel ill-equipped. You don't have the knowledge or the expertise. You don't have the strength or the power. I promise you that God knows how to get the raccoon out of your attic. And in the same way I had to call an exterminator, all you have to do is call on him. And say, God, I don't even know how I got there. That bad attitude I got towards them. That spirit of unforgiveness I've got towards them. That anger I have towards them. But God, I don't want to live with it in the attic anymore. It's disrupting my peace. It's tearing up my life. I want you to have my attic. Lord, will you help me expel the raccoon out of my attic? I promise you, God knows how to get the raccoon out of your attic. Today's the day to expel and throw out anything you're allowing to live in your attic that doesn't need to be. Don't be like the rich man who went away unable to let go of his greed. Be like Peter. Be like Peter, be able to say, God, I've sold everything out. I've left everything to follow you. You have it all. All of me, even what's in the attic. What do you need to expel? Anything broken in you? Anything taking up residence in your life? Let's ask God to help us get the raccoons out of our attic this morning. Will you bow your heads and pray with me today? Father, you who created us and made us, you know us better than we know ourselves. And God, sometimes things get in our hearts and in our lives, and we don't even remember how. We're not even unsure maybe it was that first thought, maybe it was that first look, maybe it was just that first moment when we felt that pang of anger or hurt or lust. And we didn't hold it in check. And next thing you know, it just kind of grew inside us. And maybe we're doing everything right this morning. Everything. We're keeping all the laws. We're doing everything that you tell us to do. But you look inside of us and you know, Father, about the raccoon in our attic. You know about that hurt, that pain, that anger, that resentment, that jealousy, that brokenness inside us that keeps us from being at rest and in peace. And so, God, we come to you today and we say, God, we don't know how to get rid of it. So we ask you, will you help us? Will you send your Holy Spirit to make a house call? And will you evict the raccoons out of our attic this morning? God, forgive me for letting something take a hold in my life other than you. Forgive me for letting something destructive and anger and attitude a lustful thought. Forgive me for letting it live inside me until it grew and it multiplied. God, I don't want to be known for that thing. I want to be known like Peter, as somebody who sold it all, gave it all up because Jesus gave everything up for me. God, I want to be known as your child. I don't want to be known for that raccoon in my attic. And so, God, I pray, come, forgive me, Lord, for letting it get in there in the first place. Forgive me for even letting it exist, for ignoring it, and for letting it take hold. But, God, this morning, I pray, will you exterminate it out of my life? Will you come and take the raccoon out? And, God, I give it to you right now, Lord. You have control. Everything I give to you. I don't want you to be an addition in my life. God, I want you to have my life. All that I am, I give to you this morning. God, take the raccoon out of my life and fill my heart with your peace and your love and your grace and your mercy. And God, I realize today that even though I allow you to do this, that every day I'm going to need to, maybe I need to keep laying my raccoon down every week until it's gone, every day until it's gone. And so, Lord, I pray, help me this week every morning to get up and declare that you have me, all of me, I am yours. And that I'm not going to let the raccoons live in me. I'm not going to let sin have any part of me. I am yours. Every day may I make that commitment to live into your holiness, to live into your spirit, to live into your grace every day until I have the victory. I want to be all yours, Lord. May it be so in my life this week. For we ask it and we pray it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Now, let me tell you, if you got a raccoon in your attic and you're struggling to give that to God every day, I don't know how to exterminate it either. I'm probably as scared of whatever sins in your life as if there was a real raccoon in my attic, okay? But I will pray for you. I will encourage you, and I will uplift you. That's what our staff is here for. These songs we've sung about heaven, they're going to sing another one in just a minute. And I tell you what, it can be real in your life. I know you can make it. And that's why we're here. I just want to help you. And so if there's anything we can do as a staff, if there's anything that we can pray for you and encourage you and believe, that's why it's important to be a part of a community group. You have friends around you who will help pray and will speak encouragement and truth into your life and help you, because together, I want us all to go on that journey until that day we all stand before him and hear those words, well done.